I'm gonna praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Yes, he healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me before
sing every praise, key of G.
You know, think about things this morning, as usual. And, you know, God's real.
Yes, he is.
God's real. Now, he's not always real to me, but he's always real.
He's always real.
And I was sitting there thinking, you know, that you make your testimony, and then you live by it.
Right.
That's how this works. You have faith, and then he gives you revelation.
Mm-hmm.
You step out. You knock first.
Right.
You know, you look first. You seek first. And then he fills.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, Lord, we just constantly get the cart before the horse. Sometimes I don't feel like raising my hands.
Right.
But you know what?
Just raise
he deserves
them.
My
he
praise.
Deserves. Yeah.
It's not because I want to all the time.
Right.
He's God.
Yeah.
He's given me everything.
Amen.
I have nothing that I lack
now.
Right. Not in this life, nor in the world to come.
Amen.
So why shouldn't I praise him?
Yeah.
If I wait till I feel like I praise him.
Yeah. Too late.
It'll never happen.
Right.
Because
right.
There's always an excuse. There's always a reason.
Yeah.
There's always some kind of distraction.
Yeah, always.
I never wait till I feel like.
No.
I do it because Like Brother Childers says, it's an obligation.
Yeah.
Right. He's done everything for me.
Amen.
I don't have to say, well, I don't feel like saying, you know, thank you. Well, but but are you thankful or not?
Yeah, right.
Should you be thankful?
Yes.
Put it that way. Should you be thankful?
Right. Should you?
If you should be thankful, then be thankful.
Right.
Amen.
You know, if he needs, if he should be praised,
yeah,
then praise him.
Right.
Don't wait for somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we sat there and said, well, when I feel like it, I'll testify.
No.
You will never feel like
you
it.
You will never.
How's that working out for you?
Yeah.
How's
it working out for you?
No, he deserves my praise.
Amen.
He deserves my testimony. He deserves me trying to express what he's done
Amen.
For me. And what he's done for me is, it's not that I'm all stirred and I'm bouncing off the walls or anything, because that's not even my nature. But I know what he's done for me.
Yeah.
You know, you can't make me doubt him now.
No.
I don't care what the circumstances, I don't care what you say, I don't care what happens in my life. Not even death will separate
no.
me from the love of God.
Amen.
It's, so I'm it's a pressing way.
Right.
It's a desire. It's in your heart. It's a love for the truth.
Yeah.
Whether you love the truth or not. You know, you see it out here, and I guess the thing kind of spurred us on, because you see it out here and you don't see nobody that has a love for the truth. Nobody even cares. Nobody even
on their mind.
Yeah. They go all day long. And part of it's because of the spirit of the age. There's so many distractions.
Sure.
So much. Everybody's on their phone. Everybody's on TV. Everybody's talking about everything else in the world, you know. Complaining about something, usually. but there's something that's real here.
Yeah.
Something that deserves my obligation. Something that deserves my testimony.
Amen.
He's just real.
Yeah.
He's shown me enough,
right?
I don't have to feel anything
right.
ever again.
Right.
I know what the truth is.
Amen.
You know, you come in, well, I don't feel like going to work. But you have an obligation to go to work.
Yeah.
There's a reason. There's a purpose. You
yeah.
know? I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like coming to church. But there's a reason I come to church.
Yeah, there's a reason.
there's something inside.
Yeah.
And it's not like what you think. It's not feelings. It's an understanding. I know what the truth is.
Yeah.
I love that truth. It's not a love like a filial love. It's not a love like, oh, I just, you know, I'm tears all the time.
No.
It's an understanding.
Man.
A love that never fails.
Right.
Amen.
A love that's so real, nothing will change it. You know, love is the strongest force, brother Branham said. And I'm thinking, this is the love of God.
Yes, it is.
This understanding is the love of God. This desire in my heart is the love of God. This obligation, not even, you know, we get everything mixed up, you know. It's not a desire, well, I just can't stand it. I got to say something. No, I just know to say something.
I know, yeah.
This is real.
Yeah.
I've seen too much.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Don Dustin said, you know, I appreciate we say that, and we're going to get Brother Seth up here. But I love even how that ties back. Some people go, well, how does that tie back in the Bible? Well, Noah didn't wait for the rain to start building the boat.
No.
He didn't wait for the rain to start building the boat. He believed God built the boat, and then the rain came.
Yes.
So it always works that way.
Yes.
And I thought about that. I thought, you know, sometimes we want to wait for the rain.
Yeah.
Don't wait for the rain.
He didn't build the ark in the rain.
He didn't build the ark
in
the rain.
He built it by faith.
Built it by faith. He stepped out on it before.
Yes.
So I appreciate what everything is. Go ahead, Brother Seth. You guys can be seated.
I am super glad.
Amen.
Super glad to be here. I tell you what, I got turned on because I was at work yesterday and I had a patient that came in, older guy, and he had a book, and I made the mistake of asking what that book was. It was The Spirit of God. That's what the book was, by some Alan Watts. He was talking about it, and he talked about his life, and he stopped. And he was just like, and I was like, oh man, he's going to preach to me. It's busy at work. But I got a kick out of it because he was talking. He was like, I've been Baptist, I've been Episcopalian, I've been all these different denominations, and I can't find it. I can't understand it. You know, some people beat me over the head with the Bible. Some people just read the Bible for hours, and I want to know, there's something else.
Right,
there's something more. And he starts talking about, now I feel like I have to get it myself. I started talking about the Alpha and Omega and talking about, you know, the trees of life. I was like, I perked up a little bit.
Right.
He's like, I don't know what it is about you, but when I get in this thing, I start flowing, and I'm like, he's talking to me. He's like, I'm just scared because I'm close to death and I don't know what it is.
Right.
He met the right person. That is so exciting. It's funny, he was so over himself. He called me three times from his phone to work. They're like, hey, that patient's calling you again. Again. Amen, again. Amen. He was like, I must be having a stroke. I don't know. He started using acronyms of time. He says, time is, T is for towards God, I is I see. I'm like, you know what? He said, I don't know what it's about you, but you just exude kindness. I was like, you know what? He says, it's not works. It's not what you do.
Come on.
It's what you do with the word.
Right.
And that word comes across your...
Yes.
What are you going to do with it?
Amen.
You're talking about the seed. It's funny because this morning I'm sitting there. I can't even look at things the same.
No.
I'm over here. I got a little strawberry patch. And the strawberries are not looking so good. But there's strawberries.
Right.
And there's weeds. It's good soil.
Yeah.
It's good soil. Yeah. Everything grows in good soil.
Right. Right.
Everything grows. But I love the fact that that seed,
yeah,
everything that you need, the life is in that seed. And you know what? I'm so glad to say that I'm a perfect seed. I can't, you're right, I have to say something.
No.
I was going to say, you know, I'm going to behave today. I'm going to behave. I can't behave. I can't. No. I can't be good.
Something within me.
I can't sit still on this. Because you know what? When I, you know, it's because you're right. Because there has to be a push. There was a push. I woke up late. I'm like, all right, kids, we have got to go. We have got to push. We've got to get dressed. We've got to eat. Out the door. Let's go. Because I want to be here. Not at 10, but at 9:30. Because guess what? It starts early now. God, you don't know when God's going to start.
That's
I love that because it keeps me on my toes.
Right, yes.
Because God doesn't He's not going to be in a form or fashion. He's not going to be put in a box. He's not going to be a denomination. God is moving.
Yeah,
right.
I love that because I come with expectations.
Amen.
I know today's service
is
going to be greater than last service.
Right. Amen.
Greater things. Because you know what? You build off a foundation.
Yeah.
We're not going to have old manna. We're going to have new understanding.
Come
on. I'm going to come in here with a new revelation.
Right. Still
tweaking my thinking.
Right.
Oh, it's so exciting because I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit still. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to let somebody. No.
Yeah.
No. That's what the devil wants.
No.
The devil wants you to come in here. He wants you to be quiet. Well, you have nothing else to say. You got, don't say this. Don't, oh, it's not your nature. Of course it's not my nature. I got a new nature.
That's right.
I got new change.
Yes.
You should be different.
That's right.
If you have, if this nature of God in you, it will manifest God. That's what a seed does. If you have an apple seed, guess what you're going to produce?
Apples.
Yeah. You're not going to produce something else. You have to graft something. And you know what's even funny? It's when you graft that branch takes the life. Oh, my Lord, I was reading today. You know, the seed... I can't even read the Bible the same.
Right.
It excites me because, you know, when at first, if I would have talked to him, you know, I'd be like, well, you know, God bless him where he's at. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get something out of that. I'm not going to sit there and let some man open his heart to me and not get something out of it. Just like when the preachers come here. When we go to other churches.
Right.
I'm going to eat. Even if I had to pick through all the bones and all the acronyms and all that stuff. You know what? The love.
Yeah,
the love.
Right.
The fact that he was like, you know what? Something within you. I don't even know what I'm saying. He said, can I take you out to lunch? I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. I can't do that. I got laws and all that stuff, you know. But it just excites me because, you know, when you know who you are, when you know that life in you, you walk a little different.
Yeah.
You hold yourself back a little bit different. It's not in confidence. You didn't do anything.
No.
You didn't do anything. No. But you know what? You start expressing. You start removing the flesh out of the way.
Right.
Sometimes you had ways to go by Samaria.
Right.
You know, you had a purpose. We're not out here for ourselves.
No,
we're out here doing God's work.
Yeah.
So I love that because I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know we have a big line, but I'm telling you, I'm excited because today is Sunday. Today's my day.
Yes.
I came here to have church. I didn't come here to warm a bench. I came here to worship God because he's done it all.
Right.
He's revealed it to me.
Yeah.
I see too much.
Mm-hmm.
I see too much. I've seen healings. I've seen babies born. I've seen cancer healed.
Yes.
But you know what, more than anything else? I have a revelation.
Amen.
I can see. I'm not confused when I read the Bible.
No.
I can read it and understand it.
Yeah.
There's a criteria.
Yeah.
I'm called,
predestined.
What will you do with us?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Go ahead, Sister Clarice.
You know, it's kind of hard to come here and pick the words you have to say, so I'll just say this. I'm a manifested word of God.
Right.
I am healed. And all that the Lord says I am, I am.
Right.
So come on, Bristol. Amen. I like to move for the Lord. We have something. We have a praise poem. Yeah.
Amen.
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 While she's getting ready, I just would like to give God all the glory and all the praise. I am so grateful to be here, and it is an honor and a privilege to sing with my sisters. We're going to give God all the praise.
Amen. Come on up.
Before we begin, I just want to say, could you please keep my dad in your prayers? Ambulance came and get him. He's taken to the hospital on Friday. Then they transported him to hospice. And he's alert and everything, but we just don't know if he'll stay there or if he'll come back home. And I feel bad in saying this, but sometimes, I mean, it was kind of a blessing for him to be there because I don't have a W Superwoman cape on all the time. I get tired.
Right.
And I needed the rest. Right. And it's hard to take care of him at times. So just please keep him in your prayers.
For sure.
Please.
There is coming a day when no heartaches shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, a glorious day that will be. There'll be no more sorrows over there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever, I will be with the one who died for me. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day.
Sister Courtney.
I just wanted to thank God. You know, Brother Deskins, your testimony just excited me because you were right. You know, like you let the weight of the world, you let your thoughts and everything that's going on just kind of weigh you down and think that you don't have anything to say or think that you don't have anything to do. But I'm thankful and I'm grateful to be here, you know, and I'm tearful for several reasons, you know. But the main one is like, I'm like, my daughter's, she's going off to college, and Pastor Moore, you preach that this is what we're supposed to do. You know, our job is to bring him here. We bring him to the Word, and then it's up to her. It's her thoughts. Yes. Now it's her relationship with God, you know, and what she wants to do with it.
Right.
You know, I was like, we've done all that we can do, yes. You know, and now it's time to set her free.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, Lord, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for the foundation. I'm thankful for the friends. I'm thankful for the leadership in my home.
Yes.
You know, the promise that he's given me, and I'm just so thankful for all God has done for me, you know. And I was like, you know what, I would like the church to pray for her, you know, as she goes off, because I just want her to make sure she knows the tools that she has and she understands what she has to be able to fight what's out there, you know, because it's tough out there in the world. And I feel like, you know, I we pad and we protect, you know, but now you're on your own. You know, you got to fight this battle, but you got God on your side, and I just want her to remember that. So if we can pray for Jada.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning bringing Jada.
Yes.
Lord, I held her in my arms when she was a young child. And we ask your blessing on her life. And Lord, she's moved through different stages of her life, and now she's come to a point where she's going to college. And Lord, as a parent, they can't stay with her every day, and they can't protect her in one sense. But Lord, the same word that protected her when she was born is the same word that'll walk with her as she goes off to college. Ask you to just help her to make wise decisions. And Lord, let her keep you first, even in school. Lord, let her not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but let the world know the hope that lies within her. Lord, just strengthen her, be with her, walk with her through these years, Lord, as she goes to college, knowing that, Lord, the world's going to try to put all their thinking on her, but Lord, greater is he that's in her than he is in the world. And ask you to bless her and be with her. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Jada.
My mom stole what I was going to say, but I just want to say that I'm very thankful for all of you and your support and love and unconditionally. Thank you.
Amen.
Brother Kevin.
God bless you, Brian. So I was sitting here thinking about Wednesday night, of course, because I was good eating. And I was sitting on it since Wednesday when Jay preached, and it stirred me up big time because, you know, he talked about those two seeds. And for over the years of church world, even myself, you try to produce something or try to get somebody to do something, and if that seed's not in them, it ain't gonna matter. That's it ain't right. gonna matter. And those two seeds, either you love God or you don't.
Right.
And I just dawned on me, it's like, you try to force somebody to believe this message, and if it ain't in them, it ain't in them.
Right.
All you're doing is you're wasting your time, and it's not even to be mean or be critical.
No,
you just know where they're at.
Right.
And I just told myself, you know what? Thank you, God, for just allowing me not to get to that past that point. Now, if somebody tells me they don't love God or anything like that, you know what? God bless you.
Right.
But as far as for me and my house, I have to serve the Lord. This is what I do. Don't criticize me because I love God. Don't please don't.
Right.
I want stability in my life. I want direction in my life. I want correction in my life.
Right.
So I want that. If you don't want that and you want hell in your life, go for it. I don't want it.
Right.
I can tell you that right now. I don't want it because it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't want it. This world is crazy enough with God. You take God out of the equation, you're really in trouble.
Right.
So I don't want that. I don't. So, you know, I appreciate Jay giving us all on Wednesday because it stirred me. It stirred me a lot. And I blame you guys because you guys get me fired up like that. It ain't fair. I'm just sitting just laying like, But, you know, I thank God. I really do. And then Jeremiah, he got up too and he said that push. And you know what? That's so true because I thought about it. If a man wants a woman, right? You know how us men are. We want a woman. You'll drive 100 miles away for that woman. You'll push hard, wouldn't you?
Right,
real quick. You want to get that girl's attention. You'll do something.
Right.
How much more for God?
Right. You can live across the street. You don't come to church.
Come on.
Right.
You're not walking distance. You don't come to church. You come to church. You don't praise God. You don't do nothing. You got the world all over you. Come on now. You come to church and you can't even give God an ounce of praise? Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. You can't clap. You can't sing. You can't do anything. Something's wrong with you. God's giving you a fresh breath of life and you can't do anything? I'm not going to do it. I refuse to. Because, you know, Satan's bad in my mind to think, am I getting up too much? You know what? The heck with it. If I get up too much, Pastor Moore can correct me. He'll sit me down. I'm not worried about that. God, he's a watchman on the wall. If he knows I'm talking too much, you know what? I'll sit my butt back down again. But I don't want to be guilty of not giving God no praise. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He's been too good to me. He has. I love this word. I love this message. I'm just dumbfounded because this word is everything. It can make your life, if you just yield to it and you push to it, God will supply you all your needs if you just yield to it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Kev. Kev.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm just happy to be here. And I want to get up and I just, you know, like Brother Kevin said, I want to give God praise. He has done so much for me. And I never want to sit down. I never want to get, you know, lax and you think like, oh, you know, I'm guilty of it. You know, I've got a baby. You know, he cries. I can't always get up there because I don't want to distract people with him, you know, wailing on me in the first row. But, you know, my brother's got my mule, so I hold his all the time, so he can hold mine. But, you know, I'm just so grateful for this. Like, you get such a rest with this.
Amen.
And, you know, I was thinking about that first song, Look What the Lord Has Done, and we can all, you know, take over our lives. But you know, I've got to say it for myself.
You've got to say it for yourself.
And I've been thinking about what the pastor said, you know, how there's other people, you know, outside of this building that listen to this word and listen to us. And I just want to do my job. I want to get up and I want to give praise. And I want to give thanks because, you know, it said each day is just the same in that song. And that's because of the word. It keeps us steady.
Amen.
You know, they talk about that loaded wagon, how it doesn't bounce with every bump. And it's because this word, it gives us the tools that we need, and it's so useful. And I agree with Kevin that it's, you know, it's kind of crazy when you have your friends that you grew up with that they leave. But, you know, it's because it's not for them right now or whatever. And, you know, we have a balance on that too. But as for me, I'm grateful for it.
Right.
Use it. I love it. And I'm thankful as well.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to jump in real quick.
Go ahead, brother.
I can't get in line there.
No.
I just want to praise God. You know, I love the peace that God gives us. You know, when you turn your daughter loose, you know, that's a big one, you know.
Yes, it is.
You know, sons are a little stronger, you know, but daughters, but we have a peace.
Right.
And we know that God will protect them.
Yes,
no matter what.
Right.
You know, no matter what. You know, because the Bible tells us if we raise them, right. That they'll come back.
Right.
Now, that coming back might not be till the other side.
Right.
But they will come back.
Right.
Because every word in that Bible is a promise. And it's there for a reason.
Yes, sir.
You know, so I just thank God because, you know, something as big as that, that then you can be at peace.
Yes.
And that's what this word does. It gives you peace.
Right.
You know, we all go through battles. We all go through things, you know, in life. I don't care who you are. Our kids in school go through things.
Right.
Old people go through things.
Right. Amen.
Middle people go through things. And everybody's thing is a thing.
Right.
You know, it's all important to them.
Sure.
Yeah.
It might not be important to me, but it's important to them.
Right.
You know, but God's got an answer for everything. And you know, there's always time to testify.
Amen.
God even has us starting a little early so that we can get a testimony in. But you know, you do have to push. You know, everything I've done in my life, I never really wanted to do it.
No.
You know, all in the natural, I never wanted to do it.
Right.
I never asked for any job I got. I try to run from the jobs I got.
Right.
I didn't like the jobs I got. I just wanted to be a nobody. But God saw it different. But you've got to push.
Amen.
You got to push over things. But God has given us the strength. He's given us the word.
Yes.
He's provided everything.
Everything,
and there's nothing of me. It's all him.
Yep. Amen.
And, you know, and we are a prisoner. So when we go out into the world, it's not just me, you know, lollygagging around.
Mm-mm.
I have a purpose.
Yeah.
And when I go out, I need to be a aware of that and be used of God. So I just want to always praise Him, say my two cents, and get out of the way because there is a line.
Amen. Sister Dawn, you'll be the last one. Go ahead, Sister Mel. Amen.
Amen. I love it too.
I just wanted to get up this morning and not let that devil say, you have nothing to say, because I do. God has been with me all my life, whether I knew it or not. And I'm just glad I'm waking up to the fact of who He is and what He has done all my life.
Amen.
You know, the preaching about being grounded and on solid ground, I am on this ground. And I'm like that tree planted by the water, because I shall not be moved.
That's right. Amen.
But I'm just, you know, I reflect, go back and look at my notes, and one of the things that I kind of highlighted is Revelation is the end of the Bible. Yeah. That's the end of the story. But yes, we have been eating on this word since 63. And, well, not me, but since 63. And it hasn't changed. It gets brighter and it gets brighter. And I'm thankful that I can see it. I'm thankful that He brought me to this message. And if I can.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. You can throw a song. You do whatever you want. Sister Dawn's the last one.
Because, you know, my testimony is someone tried to tell me about this book that they were reading, and it's about things that were left out of the Bible. And I'm like, why would you do that? Why don't you just read the Bible?
Right.
You don't need, none of that was as important as the book itself. And so, you know, the song that I'm thinking about and this push that everybody's talking about is You Can't Be Doubting.
No.
Because this is so real to me right now. And I don't know all the words, but I know You can't make me doubt Him. You can't make me doubt Him.
You can't make me doubt Him in my heart. Oh, You can't make me doubt Him, 'cause I know too much about Him. Oh, You can't make me doubt Him in my heart. No, You can't make me doubt Him. Oh, You can't make me doubt Him in my heart. Oh, You can't make me doubt Him in my heart.
I got the love.
I got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus. Yes, I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. You can't make me doubt Him. Oh, You can't make me doubt Him. No, You can't make me doubt Him in my heart. Oh, You can't make me doubt Him, 'cause I know too much about Him. Oh, You can't make me doubt Him in my heart. I got the love of Jesus. I got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Oh, I've got the love of Jesus. Yes, I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. You can't make me doubt Him. Oh, You can't make me doubt Him. No, You can't make me.
Brother AJ, appreciate that, Sister Mel.
I wanted to get up and just say thank God for a revelation. Kara and I were down at my parents' yesterday, and we were celebrating her birthday. And they, out of the blue, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but it wasn't related to church or religion or anything at all. And then my mom comes out of blue and asks me a question, kind of picking on me a little bit. And so it was a biblical question. I gave her the biblical answer that I learned from the preaching that I heard in here.
Amen.
And then the scripture to back it up. And they didn't like that. And they, I don't want to say attack, but they sort of attacked me right after. And then they went on a couple other tangents where they were talking about opinions and things they've been spoon-fed from the church world. And you know, God bless them, because 3 or 4 years ago, I probably would have agreed with them. I was right there. I know where they're coming from.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but Kara and I got in the car, and we got a chance to reflect on it. And, you know, normally when somebody attacks you, you're kind of mad, kind of upset. I was nothing but thankful, because God has anointed my eyes and anointed my ears so that I can hear, see, and read this thing and understand it word for word.
Right.
And, you know, I might not live up to it, but I know it's the truth.
I know it's the truth. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Sister Dawn.
Amen. I'm
just so thankful to be here.
Yes.
You know, I'm thankful for a revelation. I'm thankful for understanding.
Yes. Amen.
I'm thankful for a good man. I'm thankful for Jada coming here. And Jada, no one's going to love you like we love you.
Right.
And I just want to say, I've been wanting to get up here. It's hard when you play an instrument, because the line's up and then the devil tells you, well, there are enough people testifying. But I've been wanting to say how grateful I am to feel healthy.
Amen.
That's a miracle.
That's a blessing.
And you know, John said, he said today, did you bring in your oxygen? I said, no, I didn't. But you know, that was spoken by Pastor Moore. I was thinking, I was telling Elise the other day, he would say every service, God bless John and Dawn. Mm-hmm. And he said, I won't be satisfied until you're not wearing oxygen. And I thank God for leadership.
Amen.
That's how simple it is. You have faith in that. And then today John says, you know, I don't think you should take your medicine anymore. Uh-huh. And I said, thank you, God.
Amen.
Because I believe I'm completed. I'm completed now.
Right.
And I am doing things I haven't got to do since 2020. I can move. I mean, my body is broken. And I can exercise.
Amen.
My lungs are good now. And I don't ever want to take that for granted.
That's right.
I don't want to be one of those that God heals and you just sit on it.
Yeah.
Because he's real. And he deserves the glory. Can I just sing?
Yeah, sing it. Sing it. Oh, my. He deserves it. Please.
Amen.
It's a worship service. It's a worship. You deserve the glory.
Because he's been good to all of us.
Amen.
And he deserves the glory for everything he's done in all of our lives.
You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship as we praise your holy name. Deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship as we praise your holy name, for you the glory and Song and get him up. Now, by way of announcements, remember we got September the 7th and 8th. We got the brothers coming from Kentucky, and I think Sister Yap is coming as well. And she's coming and she's bringing some children with her as well. So we're going to have a good time. And on that weekend as well, we're going to have a picnic after service. So it was Saturday night service, Sunday service, and then picnic afterwards. Pastor Moore, is it safe to assume we will not have Bible study, or will we have Bible? We will not have Bible study that weekend. And then Sunday, September 22nd, is the church picture, so I'm looking forward to that. I always like to be identified with that. I appreciate the prayers today for Jada. Yes. Amen. I'll leave it right there. Just appreciate the prayers.
It's her fault.
Right, it's her fault, right? Yeah, so I will tell you guys this, though. You'll see me in a lot of Ohio State stuff. And for years, it just used to be like a team or a place. But now it's just a way to be in connection with her. Because as a dad, I would stay there every day, and I wouldn't care. I'd be there, I'd walk her to class, and that's what I would want to do. But I got to let her go. And this is just a little connection. And I can say a little part of her is here. So if you see me in it, I'm not even caring about the team now. It's just a way to be in connection with her. So you may see Ohio State ties and Ohio State socks, and just know I don't care about football no more. It's about my daughter there.
That's
so
right.
I appreciate you guys just bearing with me with that. Because, you know, when you do that, when you trust God, that's what it comes back down to.
Amen. It's just a trust. Amen. It's whether your kid goes off and gets married, they go off and get a job, they go any whatever they go off and go do. I just gotta trust God when they go to when they go back to school.
That's right.
I gotta trust them. Really? Whenever they go out of my hand, I gotta trust them. But the revelation that I have is the same God that's been holding me.
Yes.
It's the same God that's holding her. Yeah. And I appreciate real leadership. Appreciate understanding. Yes. I just appreciate this church. So let's sing "How Great Thou Art." Page 135 in "The Only Believe," and let's get him up. Remember those as they're traveling. Remember the prayer requests out there as well. We got some out there, and then I know we got something at my house coming up pretty soon. So everybody that's a part of that, just remember that as well. Page 135. How great is our? How great thou art. I'm sorry.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars. How great thou art.
Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! One more time. Father, how great you are. Oh, the other song says, how great is our God. You've done some miraculous things in our lives, things that we can't even explain. We don't know how you heal, but we know you do. We don't know how you save, but you do. We don't know how you reveal, but you do. We don't know how you make something out of nothing, but you do. Oh, we're so grateful to be a part of this thing, Lord. It's not a chore, it's not a task, but it's a privilege to be numbered with those that believe your report. How great thou art that you would break yourself down in such minute little pieces that it would fit inside of these earthen vessels. And that it would take these earthen vessels and use it for your glory. I ask you, Lord, to continue to be with us, Lord, as we walk through this life. Lord, as Jada goes to college, I ask you to walk with her, not beside her, in her. As we go through trials and troubles on this side, Lord, we ask you to walk in us. Ask you to settle all the doubts and fears. And Lord, let us appreciate and love what you've done for us. And let there be such a joy. Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If I want to be strong, let me have your joy. And Lord, as we come to the house of God and we hear the word of God, it's a joyous thing. And Father, we ask you to let us be strengthened today. Just let us be stronger when we leave today than we were when we got here. I ask you to be with Sister Christie's dad. And Lord, you know the need there. Touch his body, Lord. And we're not asking for anything less than what you ask in your word. You said, ask and it shall be given. And Lord, you said, by your stripes we're healed. And Lord, we're looking for healing. We're looking for deliverance. And Lord, we ask you to be with them and help Christie as she struggles to try to take care of her parent, Lord, knowing that it's a task. And Lord, she's not well in body herself. And Father, I ask you to touch in that need. Lord, I ask you to be with Sister Judy in Kentucky as she's recuperating from her surgery. And Lord, we just always want to remember Trevor and always keep him before you. And Lord, the brother Tony, who's coming back from Africa, I ask you to be with him and his journey here in the United States. And Lord, as we continue to lay things out, just Lord, we ask you to just move in this place. I ask you to touch Brother Fred, who's having a problem with his shoulder. Ask you to bind Satan. He's already on the recover, and we thank you for that in advance. Thank you for the word that we have here, Lord, and that we've opened up before the people. Open us up, Lord, that we can receive that which you have for us today. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read a little bit before you sit down. We're going to go back over to where we were last Sunday, Matthew chapter 13. And I want to just read. I'm not going to read as much as I did last Sunday, but there was a couple of places, one thing that I wanted to bring out of the scripture that I want to take note of, and so I wanted to go back to it today. So Matthew chapter 13, I could save time by jumping down to verse 13, but I want to draw the picture clear to you just back it up to verse 10. And if we just start with verse 10 and we'll read through a few verses there. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the words. You may be seated. I'd like to title this message this morning, Seeing, Hearing, and Understanding. And it's so funny because I listen to your testimonies, and the testimonies were right in line. And actually, AJ said all three of those. And I said, okay, Lord, I see you. All right. Seeing, hearing, and understanding. And I want to go back here. We spent a lot of times here last Sunday and had a lot to say. And there was so much in there that I wanted to bring out that I didn't get time to. Just time just flies and you never get to everything. But I wanted to look at those three items because Jesus made a note of it. And he says, I speak to them in parables because it's not given unto them to understand. Someone said this morning, I think it was Kevin, you know, they don't get it. And you can't fault a blind man.
Right.
You can't beat him for not being able to see. And we have not understood that over the years. And like AJ said, he didn't get mad at his parents. At one time, it would have been a fight and a fuss and not understanding. But when you understand that you can see, and you understand that the person you're talking to can't see, it gives you compassion. It doesn't make you want to lord over them. I have, you know, when you're growing up with your brothers and sisters, you have a tendency to lord over them with some bit of information. I know something you don't know. I've got something you can't have, or, you know, this is mine and you can't have. No, this is not the case. When you understand that you are chosen by God, and it's rare to be able to pick up what we pick up, it's rare to be able to understand. And the disciples were, they were just, I felt for Jesus because he had to deal with those 12. And they, every time he turned around, they were coming up with something else. And they were a little bit upset with Jesus because Jesus would talk to them a certain way and he talked to the Pharisees another way. And they thought they were going to come and straighten Jesus out and let them know, hey, if you talk to them like you talk to us, then they'll understand you and we can grow the numbers. And they did not understand that it wasn't them picking it up. See, what you don't understand is that you're not here just picking this up. If God doesn't show it to you, you can't get it. And we have over the years with denominational teaching have tried to pound the Word of God into you. We've beat you over the head. We've threatened you. We've done all manner of evil to you to try to make you believe. And the thing is, you can't just believe this. You can't just hear this. You can't just understand this. You can't just see this.
Jesus said it's not given unto them. It's not even for them. Do you realize the word of God is not for everybody? Oh, everybody's included in it. But, you know, there's two sides to every coin. There's a good part and there's a bad part. There's a good side to every story. And if you're dealing with a story, you know, you got to have, to make a good story, you have to have a villain. You have to have a damsel in distress. And you have to have a hero. Look at any story you look at. If it's a good story, you got all three of those working in there. Somebody's trying to mess up something and somebody's trying to save somebody. Well, God is no different. This is the greatest story ever written. You got God, you got Satan, and you got the bride. And God's trying and will save the bride. He is definitely the hero. And the bride loves him. And that old devil is trying to wreck it. That makes a good story. So Jesus knew that even though everybody could have access to the Bible, people could not understand, they could not see what they, and you know, the seeing, hearing, and understanding, they're all the same.
Right.
They're all the same. They're interchangeable. To see is to understand.
Right.
To hear is to understand.
Right.
So when you read the Bible, you cannot see, hear, or understand it on your own. And that's why sometimes you come to church when you first start and you sit and you hear and you're like, there's something about it. I love it. It makes sense. But I really don't understand it. Or I really don't see it. Or I hear it, but I don't really hear it. Because I can talk all day long, but until God personally comes to you, you can't get this. You could be sitting in the same group. That's what they were. They had the disciples and they had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians all gathered together. The disciples were hearing the exact same message that they were hearing. But the disciples, because they didn't understand Revelation, they thought, Jesus, if you just break it down to them like you're breaking it down to us, then they'll understand you too. Well, Jesus wasn't breaking it down to the disciples.
No.
It was the Holy Ghost dealing with them. And see, the thing is, you could come to church all your life. You can come to church all you want. Until God personally reveals this to you, you can't get this. You won't get this because of your last name. You won't get this because of who you associate with. You won't get it because you're good friends of a good friend. You won't get this because you're a nice person,
right,
or you're a good, clean liver, or because you dropped something to lay things down. That's not how you get this.
No.
You don't get this by any works that any man could do. Because God's not going to let you boast on anything. So see, God has to personally reveal this or it won't be given. Remember, I don't have it here, but Jesus was talking over there with Peter and he said, Peter, who do men say that I am? And everybody, disciples, started saying who they thought Jesus was, an apostle. They thought you were one of the prophets, one of the this, and one. They thought you were John the Baptist. They had all kind of ideas.
Right.
But they hadn't heard from God. Because if you ever hear from God, it won't be your idea.
Right.
Matter of fact, when you hear from God, it'll read different than you ever heard. When you hear from God, it won't be nothing that you ever thought of. When you hear a revelation from God is different than anything you ever thought about. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, but who do you say? See, it comes to a point. This is about you and me. It's about me and God. You got to get this for yourself. And when you get it for yourself, then it's a relationship between you and God. It doesn't have nothing to do with me. It doesn't have nothing to do with anybody that's around you. It doesn't have to do with your family, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your parents. It doesn't have to do with any of that. It's God and you having a one-on-one relationship. And when he speaks to you, you'll hear it like you never heard it.
Amen.
Peter said, thou art the Christ. Now, that was nothing like what everybody else said. None of them said that. None of them thought of that.
It ain't nobody.
They didn't know it. They couldn't reveal it. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't understand it. See, it's just not enough reading because they read the scrolls. They knew what the scrolls said. They read it better than the apostles did. They read it better than anybody under the sun because they read it every day. So they knew what the scrolls said. They knew what was expected. But every time God comes, he always comes different than what anybody ever expects. They thought the Messiah was going to come. He's going to be a king and rule over the earth. And he is, but not like they thought it was. He come in a barn. He come in a stable. He comes so humble that without a revelation, you'd miss it. Matter of fact, everybody did miss it. Everybody missed it except for those that God personally revealed it to. Those shepherds on the hillside, the only reason they knew it was because God talked to them. Amen. Those wise men, the only reason they knew it because God talked to them. Amen. Mary only knew it because God talked to her. Joseph only knew it because God talked to him. See, you can't get this outside of having a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ himself. Amen. So those disciples thought, well, if you just tell them like you're telling us, but Jesus said, I'm talking to everybody. I'm saying the same thing. I'm preaching. I only have one message. See, I only have one message. I get up and I preach, and somebody hears this message that I'm saying, and they'll say, oh, I don't believe a word of it. Uh-huh. And somebody else hears the same message, and my goodness, that's perfect. I believe every bit of that. Yeah. You know, Brother Branham preached a message at one time, and he was talking about those two men that went to the service. And when they got out of service, and one guy asked the other, said, well, how'd you like the service? He said, well, he called me a buzzard. He said, that's funny, because he called me an eagle.
Right.
Same message, sitting in the same pews, where everybody comes to church and you take home what you need. You don't take the whole message home. You can't even remember everything that's said. But there's things that you take home that's just God dealing with you on. And that's the way it is when Jesus was preaching. He didn't preach the disciples separate from everybody else. And he says, I'm preaching the same message. And they thought, if you just tell them like you're telling us, just like I am. But they can't see. They can't hear, and neither can they understand. Jesus told them over here in St. John 14, just to jump down, verse 19, says, yet a little while, and the world see me no more. See, there was a time that everybody could see him physically. He said, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Even though the rest of the world couldn't see him, they got to a point that they couldn't see him. Jesus said, they're not going to see me. But you're going to see me. But see, you got to understand how you're going to see him. Because everybody can't see him. Some people think they see him and they don't. Some people think they know him and they don't. Some people think they have the Bible down pat and they know what it is and they don't. They don't have a clue about this Bible. They got their theology. They got what man has taught them. They got what the bishop has told them. They got what the church has told them. But when it comes to a real understanding, you know what? They don't get into the weeds and in the grass like we do in here. They don't break it down like we do here. That's why you come, you think you keep coming back because you hear it broken down like you've never heard it in your life. And when you hear it broken down here, it's not even me breaking it down. It's me preaching the word, but God's breaking it down and making it known to you. The world won't see me no more. They're not going to be able to see him anymore. The last they saw him was him going up into the clouds. But, you know, Brother Brown said he was only gone 10 days. That's all he's ever been gone.
Amen.
But when he come back, he came back in a different form.
Yeah.
He looked different. He sounded different. He had a different job, had a different role. On the day of Pentecost, that was Jesus. People think, well, not that wasn't Jesus. That was the Holy Ghost. Remember Paul on the road?
Yeah.
A Damascus. He met the pillar of fire. And that pillar of fire told him who he was. I am Jesus. Wait a minute. You didn't look like Jesus. You didn't have a flowing robe like Jesus. That same pillar of fire that met Paul was the same pillar of fire that came out in the upper room. And that same pillar of fire that met Paul and got in Paul was the same one that got in those 120. But when they walked out of the upper room, when they stepped down there, Peter was down there talking, but Jesus was in Peter.
Right.
Remember that 120, that pillar of fire broke up into 120 pieces and got in every one of them.
Right.
So Jesus broke himself up and got into another vessel. It wasn't that Jesus was gone. It was that Jesus changed his form. And when he changed his form, people lost track of him. They couldn't see him no more. And that's what he told him. He said, you're not going to see me. You're not going to see me no more. The world, they'll see me no more, but you'll see me. Brother Branham said, a little while, and the world will see me no more. See, that's the Greek word cosmos, which means world order. See me no more. The world order was not going to see him anymore. Yet ye shall see me. I, being a personal pronoun, Brother Branham said, I'll be with you. Even in you, I'll be. Even in you to the end of the world, making Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, he remains. He raised from the dead. The world, the unbeliever, will see me. They won't recognize it. But the believer will recognize him because he's the same Jesus that was that he always was. Amen. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, the world lost track of him.
Yes.
They thought, well, he died. Now, matter of fact, they thought that the disciples stole his body and hid it away somewhere.
Right.
They didn't believe it, and they never saw him again.
Right.
But he did come back,
yes.
And he got in people. And then, matter of fact, when he got in people, the only way for you to see God now
right.
is to see him in his people.
Right.
It's been that day since the day of Pentecost.
Right.
If you're looking for God now, you better find a person. Because that's the only way you're going to get it. As a matter of fact, more so now than ever. Because he has veiled in human skin. Remember, the scripture says that in Luke 17 that the Son of Man was going to come back on the scene at the end time. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We know it. I've got it here. I'm getting out of order, but that's okay.
Right.
The Son of Man ministry was the fullness of the Word veiled in human flesh. Now, you can't see God outside of finding where he's veiled. If you want to see God today, like Brother Childers would say, if you want to see God, look here. Because God has been veiled in human skin. And he's more veiled now than he's ever been.
Amen.
He has literally moved into the bride body in his fullness.
Yes.
We're not trying to figure this out anymore.
No.
We're not trying to work out this thing and figure out what goes where. We're not even trying to figure out who's in the bride, who's in the body. We know the whole entire story now.
Yes.
Go down to your local Baptist and ask them who the bride body is. They don't know. Go ask your Pentecostal who the bride body is. They don't know. We've got it up here on the wall. We got the bride picture.
Right.
And when they walk in here, I watch them. When we have weddings and things and y'all's families come, they walk in here and they come up and they see that they go. What is this? And we're like, oh, that's the bride.
Right.
Yeah. They don't even know she's the bride. But the thing is that we're not doing this in some dark alley. It's on the internet. It goes around the world. If you want to pull it up, you can do it. If you want to hear it, it's there. If you want to see it, it's there. The services are online. God is not doing this in a corner. Then why isn't this place packed? Because seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. And they don't understand. They don't think this is anything. They think this is just us. We're just doing this. It's just us getting together and doing church things. No. They don't understand. Jesus Christ is here. He is very much here. And I can see him.
Right.
I can hear him. I heard him this morning.
Right.
I saw him this morning.
Yes.
I understood what he was saying.
Yes.
And it's not hard. It's not, you see, we make this thing hard. Right. We think we got to have some big, deep revelation. No, it's God in simplicity.
That's right.
The days of having hard to understand messages are over. The days of having to study, try to figure this thing out and try to tie the scripture and make all this. I don't even have enough time to preach what I know. Let alone go look up something else. I don't have enough time to say everything I want to show you. God is on the scene. God is talking. God is moving. God is veiled. And if you can't see God, if you don't, Brother Lockett, I'll put it on you. You said it, I didn't. Brother Lockett said, I hide behind me. Brother Lockett said, if you don't see God, you don't have a revelation. That's the truth. Say, so I don't know if it's God or not. You need a revelation. Amen. What is a revelation? A clear understanding. What is a clear understanding? God personally revealing himself to you. And what is a new birth? That is Christ, the Word, personally revealed to you. Amen. It's that simple. It's not hard. This ain't hard. You know, it was hard when we didn't know. It was hard when we didn't have a prophet. It was hard when we didn't have somebody who could straighten the scripture out and tell us what was what. I get tickled. AJ's like, I just answered and put the word on it and gave them the scripture. But see, that's what people don't have. They don't have answers. They think nobody knows, but somebody knows. They thought Jesus didn't know. But do you know Jesus at the age of 12 was? He was in the temple at the age of 12. Confounding the doctors of divinity. Our 12-year-olds in here. They could go to a Baptist preacher and spin his head. Pentecostal preacher and spin his head. Because we know what it is now. God has made it known to us. Now, he said the world won't see it anymore, but the believers will. You know, when Jesus was here, there was Greeks that St. John 12, they want to see him. See, we all say, well, it's so funny because everybody say they want to see God until they see God.
Right.
And then they don't want to see God no more. That's the way they did when Moses was here. Moses, you ain't the only one. We want to see you. We could talk to God just like you. Moses like, okay. He went back to the mount and said, somebody want to talk to you. God said, bring them all. Tell them tomorrow. I'll see them tomorrow. And they thought people think they want to see God, but they don't.
Right.
He dragged those children of Israel to the foot of the mountain, Mount Sinai, and they come up, and the Lord came. There's lightning, thunder, horrible mess, scary. And the people were like, oh, Moses, you can speak for us. But it's like today, everybody's religious right now.
Right.
I mean, from the Pope to the presidents to the governors to the preachers, teachers to the checkout lady at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Have a blessed day. Everybody's religious.
Right.
But everybody don't know God.
No.
But then when they're face to face with God, they really don't want to see God. Because when you walk up to him and you say, I and my Father are one, how you treat me is how you treat God.
Right.
If you bless me, you're blessing God. If you curse me, you're cursing God. Oh, all of a sudden, they don't want to see. They don't want to hear. And neither do they want to understand.
Amen.
Because they have their tradition. And the tradition of men, Jesus said, has made the word of God a none effect. So they don't want the word.
Right.
Because you can't interpret the word right without a prophet. They don't even want to hear that. You tell them, God, do you realize that God sent a prophet into the last day to tie all the loose ends of the scriptures for us? The scriptures aren't loose. They're not? No. We had the Bible. We've had the Bible ever since Luther.
Right.
Yeah, but do you understand what you read? See, the thing is, people have the Bible, but they have no understanding.
Amen.
And then when God, you, walk up to them and start explaining the scriptures to them, they get offended. You can't talk to them about the Word of God. I got family members that don't know whether God's a male or female. I get tickled with. We got together. We were getting ready to do a prayer. I think Melanie was there. We all got our hands together, ready to go. And I said, well, you go pray. See, I don't feel like me, preacher, me, the pastor, I got to always beat up a man or lead the way in prayer. No, I just thought, you pray. And we all put our heads down. The first word I heard, Mother God. I'm like, oh, my Jesus. But that's where people are at. And I don't say it to make fun of them, but it's lack of understanding. They don't know enough about God being the male and the bride being the female. They don't understand. They're so caught up in this age of equal rights and Laodicea that they can't make the male more important than the woman. And they got to have, we don't know whether God's a, they said, we don't know whether God's a male or a female. Yes, we do. That's like asking you, do you know whether you're a male or a female? Some people can't answer that. But that's the spirit of the age. And when I hear you tell me that you don't know whether God's male or female, that's the spirit of the age. God ain't never referred to himself as a she. And he never referred to the bride as a he. See, God's not confused. This world might be confused. And they got so mixed up now, they don't know whether they need a men's restroom or a women's restroom. So they just take the name off and say a family restroom. This world is gone. But God knows he's a male. And the bride knows she's a female. Because we couldn't do anything without him. So these guys come up, they say, we want to see Jesus. Over in John 12. They say, we want to see Jesus. And Jesus answered them a little weird. He said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. In other words, that's the only way you're going to see me. Because just looking at this vessel here, you're not seeing me. Because what did he tell? I was thinking about this morning. I said, what did he tell doubting Thomas? Because they were like, oh, Jesus is here. I poked my fingers in the side. I did all these things, and I now know for sure that it's Jesus. Jesus said, he said, blessed is he that hath not seen and yet believe. Because he knew that you're not looking with these natural eyes. See, people won't know it's Jesus unless he comes like Hoffman's head with a flowing robe. Then they'll say, oh, that's Jesus. Well, Jesus is here right now. But blessed are your eyes that you can see him, because you have not seen his physical body, but you have seen his word. And to see is to understand. They wanted to see him, but they couldn't. Jesus told the Jews over in Matthew 23, this is really striking. 23 verse 39 says, for I say unto you, now he's talking to the Jews, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In other words, I ain't going to show myself to you again until over there on the other half of 3.5 years when I reveal myself and you really know who I am. Jesus was that sure that he wasn't going to deal with them at all. Because he knew he was going to deal with the Gentiles. He knew that the Jews were not going to believe him. They weren't going to see him. They weren't going to understand him. They weren't going to see anything that he had. They weren't going to believe it. They don't believe. They believe the Old Testament scrolls, but when it comes to Jesus, they stop. They're blinded.
Right.
They can't see. They can't understand. Right. And the Gentiles have had 2,000 years of being able to see and understand. Right. But the Gentiles have gotten to a place now where the Jews were. Because remember, Jesus is here, and he's in his bride, and there's, Brother Branham called it a second crucifixion.
Right.
They're crucifying the word afresh. over their pulpits, through their denominations, through their traditions of men. They are making the Word of God an effect. They are killing the Word of God just like they did 2,000 years ago. And the Jews told them then, they said, let it be on us and our children. And it has been. And the Gentiles are getting to that place now. Oh, we don't want nothing to do with a prophet. That ain't our prophet. We don't understand it. We don't want that word. We don't want this. We don't want that. You know what's going to happen is when the bride leaves here, they're going to be stuck. With no God, no direction, and no help. If you think the world's bad now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Try having this world without God. The only reason God's holding the four corners back is because we're here. Those plagues are just so close to being ready to get put out on us that we can't even hardly get out of here soon enough. But as soon as the bride leaves, then God's going to turn back to Israel, and the Gentiles and the Gentile church will be at the mercy of the world.
That's right. Amen.
And you don't want to be at the mercy of this world, because this, see, man, I never, this mankind, and I've come to this conclusion, not just recently, but just lately, I just see how bad man is. Mankind itself is just, by himself, on his own, is just rotten. He's evil.
Right.
He can't do nothing. No other animal on the face of the earth has to kill and take something that doesn't belong to them and just take it because they want it.
Right.
Now, a lion will kill a lamb because he wants to feed his cub. Any other animal will do it for a reason.
Right.
But man will do it for no reason.
Amen.
He'll kill you in a minute for no reason.
Amen.
He don't care about himself. He don't care about you. He don't care about life. He don't care about God. Man is just rotten to the core.
Amen.
Just in general.
Amen.
You think in history. History, man has always murdered each other. And sometimes for no reason at all. Most time. Do you know there's enough food on this world to feed the entire world? We waste more food here in the United States.
Amen.
That could feed. We throw away more food and waste. And we do it because we don't want it anymore. And we get storage containers, storage buildings, and hoard. We get so much in our house that we can't fit anything else in there. We hoard in our house. Then we get a storage container and hoard that. And we're not using it, but I don't want you to have it. That's man for you. If I can't have it, you can't have it. That's what's going to bring the nuclear war on. Somebody's going to be guilty of just saying, if I can't have it, you can't have it. And he's going to destroy himself. That's mankind. And it's been that way since Cain. It's just his very nature.
Amen.
Just very nature. So I've come to the conclusion, man is just pure rotten. Outside the love of God. And when God gets in your heart, there's where you change. There's where you become a better person. There's where you start considering. Because see, the Bible is full of thinking about your brother and your sister.
Yeah.
You know, considering your brother. Love your brother. Love your enemy. Look, this tells us to do so many things that this world doesn't even know how to start doing. And they can't have the love of God in them if for nothing in the world. Jesus crossed his hands in type and shadow with Ephraim and Manasseh. Brother Brown said, but notice another glorious revelation in type of Joseph. Joseph, while in Egypt, was given a Gentile bride, and through her, he received a family of two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph asked his father to bless the two boys. He placed them in front of Jacob so that Manasseh, the firstborn, would be on Jacob's right and Ephraim the left. And Jacob was about to bless them. He crossed his hands so that the right hand fell upon the younger, Joseph, and cried out, and Joseph cried out, not so, Father, this is the firstborn to your right. But Jacob said, God crossed my hands. Here in type, we see the blessing which belonged to the firstborn, the Jews, was given over to the younger, the Gentiles, through the cross hands, the cross hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. The blessing comes through the cross. The reason we got what we have is because God crossed his hand. It should have gone to the Jews. This should be a Jewish blessing. But because they turned it down, they couldn't see, they couldn't hear, they couldn't understand. Because they pushed it away, the Gentiles like, I'll take that. God built a bride, and God built a Gentile bride. Just like Joseph's wife. He built on purpose a Gentile bride. He never did want a Jewish bride. It never was his plan. It seemed like a plan, but it wasn't his plan. His plan was to have a Gentile bride. And that's why he did what he did. That's why the cross was paid. That's why we can believe the cross and the Jews can. It's because it never was about the Jews. It was about him coming. And him bringing something that we can see, something we can hear, and something that we can understand. Jesus told him over there in St. John 8, when they were standing before him, verse 43, he asked a question. He said, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Listen to what he even broke it down further. And this is why they can't hear. Ye are of your father, the devil.
Right.
Oh, my. People don't like it. They don't want to hear that. But if you don't have an understanding, if you can't see this, it's because you're of your father, the devil.
Right.
You got to be born again. That is what separates the believer from the unbeliever. The unbeliever can't pick it up. They can't hear it. They can't understand.
Amen.
They can't get it no matter how you fix it.
Amen. It's not
even for them. They are not able to pick it up. They are not able to understand. They can't get this no matter how you bring it to them. If you brought them in here today and set them on the same bench that you're sitting on and let them hear the same message you're hearing and you're sitting there saying, amen, this I can't understand that. There ain't nothing to this.
Right.
There ain't nothing to this message. There ain't nothing to the Bible. There ain't nothing. See, you got to have the ability to pick this up. If you don't have a place in you, God can't even talk to you. Jesus was talking to them, and they couldn't pick it up. So if he couldn't get people to believe, what makes you think I'm going to be able to do? He had the flowing robe.
Yeah.
He was Jesus, the vessel. And they still didn't believe. Oh, what did he tell those, that rich young ruler in hell, when he told, send Lazarus back up. Let him go talk to my brothers. Let him tell them don't come to this place. Because this is a real place. It's a hot place. And you don't get no water. And it's like, come on, send him up there. What was the answer? Even if one was resurrected from the dead, it wouldn't change one thing. They still wouldn't believe it. You could see a ghost and they wouldn't believe it. If you don't have a place in you for the word, I don't care. Fry it, bake it, julienne it, boil it. It doesn't matter how you fix it. If there's no place in you, there's just no place in you. God himself has to speak to you. God has to reveal this to you. God has to make it known to you. Outside of that, you're helpless and hopeless. I may love you, but I can't get this to you. Why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, you will do. You're going to do it. You cannot do anything else.
Amen.
He said, well, I'm going to clean my life up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to clean up all you want. Do all the good you want. Build all the hospitals you want. Try to build churches all over the world that you want. It's not enough.
You're
You must be born again.
Amen.
Got to have the new birth. Got to have an ear to hear. Got to be able to understand the word of God. Got to be able to see this thing and see it to understand.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm not even talking head knowledge. Right. I'm talking about God has a person to reveal to you this word. When he talks to you and you know he's talking to you, you'll know it because you'll not see, then you'll see.
Right.
You'll not understand it, then you'll understand. I'm not saying you'll understand everything, because you won't understand everything. But you'll understand what he tells you. He's the only revealer of the word. You can't receive this unless he talks to you. And you can't get any more revelation than he gives. He said, all I know is I got one revelation. Well, that's one that you got. And if that's all God gives you, that one revelation is enough for you to get your body changed.
Amen.
You don't have to understand the thesis behind this message. You don't have to understand the seven seals, seven thunders. You don't have to understand how God held back some water for Moses. You don't have to understand how God's going to change our bodies. You don't have to understand none of that. But if God ever reveals one thing to you, you hold on to that. Because the key is that nobody else can get what you just received. You want to understand it all. We all do. But the old song says we'll understand it better by and by. You ain't going to get it all here. So if you're waiting for me to give you all the answers, you're not going to get it.
Amen.
And if you're trying to get this by education, you're not going to get it.
Amen.
And if you're trying to build something and say, well, okay, when I understand this much, then I'll believe God's real. No, you better take the one revelation God gives you and use that.
Amen.
Because the key is, the thing is, that they can't even pick up one revelation.
Right.
They can't hear it at all.
No.
You might understand one or two things, but that's one or two things more than they did.
Right.
Why can't you hear my speech? You're of your father, the devil. The lust of your fathers you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Told you mankind's just bad. He was a murderer from the beginning and bold not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him.
Right.
He can't help you. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He'll try to tell you the theory of evolution. He'll try to tell you all this other stuff. And he'll fill your head full of knowledge. Then the world's going to fill you full. Oh, Jada going to college? She ain't heard nothing yet.
Amen.
When you get in that science class and they start trying to tell you you come from a monkey and they try to tell you that there is no God and that the world goes on for eternity and there's nothing out there and God doesn't exist and you're sitting there with what you've been taught all your life and you listen to that devil up there lying. You say, how you know he's lying? As Don says, he opens his mouth. See, you got to stand on the revelation that you receive. You can't go by what it looks like. You can't go by what it seems like. You can't go by what the majority of the people think it is. You can't go by any of that. You got to stand on the revelation that God has given you. You say, I may not have a revelation on how the world was created, but I do understand one thing. God sent us a prophet. And you almost don't even need a revelation for that. Because William Branham did come. He was so vindicated. He was more vindicated than any other prophet. So you don't even need revelation now. But the revelation part of it is that he was my prophet. That's the revelation. You can ask the Baptist. Have you heard of William Branham? Oh, yeah. He false prophet, died in a car accident. I heard it, yeah. But see, the revelation is that he's my prophet.
Right.
That it came in my day. And I received what he brought. Now see, that's revelation.
Right.
I'm trying to show you what revelation, because a lot of times we don't look at revelation as what it really is. We try to make it lightning bolts. We try to make it something that it ain't. Feelings, emotions, knowledge. Oh, when I know all this, I'll understand. No, you won't. If you can't receive the first simple revelation that God is, and God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You gotta do, that's your part. You gotta do your homework. If you don't do your homework, I don't know about this. Well, did you read the message? Did you hear the prophet? Did you follow up to see if he's real? When I heard about William Branham, you know what I did? I dug my heels in.
Amen.
I said, William who? A prophet. When? What scripture, Brother Childers? And then he gave me the scripture. Saying, yeah, he does have scripture. Well, what about? Boom. Give me something else. See, I was doing my homework. I just come to church. So I was telling somebody the other day, I said, some people don't even think about God except for Sunday and Wednesday night.
Right.
Let alone talk about him. They're here for Sunday morning service, and they don't come Sunday night. Because I don't need Bible study, because I know what this is. I don't have to seek. I don't need to dig in. I got all the answers. No, you don't. That's why you keep coming. That's why I keep coming. I want to know more about my Jesus.
Yeah.
I won't be satisfied till I awaken his likeness.
Amen.
I need a body change. I don't know how that's going to happen yet. So I got to keep coming until I figure that out. But God will reveal himself to you because you are a seed of God. And you may not understand everything. Don't worry yourself about not understanding everything. Understand what you understand. As Brother Spencer used to say, back your mail from where you're at.
Right.
In other words, if all I have is one revelation, you know what? I'll get up and testify. You know, God, I did. When I had I realized I was the children, I had my heart turned back. I got up, hey, I'm children, had my heart turned back. I see that. I understand that. God revealed that to me. And I know it was God because I didn't see it, then I saw it.
Right.
So I like saying it like that because everybody in here knows what happens when you get a revelation. You read a scripture, and then you look at it like, I never read that before. Been there the whole time. You've been reading all these years. Just the Holy Ghost gets hold of it, and it looks different. So I talked about children having a heart turned back until I wore that out with everybody. And then God said, oh, let me give you something else. Because God got tired of hearing it. So God gave me another revelation. Then I marched right back up. Hey, look what God revealed to me. So like what Seth's doing. Seth's saying, whoa, that's like a new Bible. I said, I get it, Seth. I did that myself. Hey, I know I testified last week, but the devil says I shouldn't get up again. But, well, you got a new week. You got a new revelation. God's giving you another step. You're not telling, now if you get up here and you repeat last week's message, then I might say something. But every week you get them with something new. Oh, look, at last Sunday, message this was brought out, and last Wednesday, this was brought out, and look what I found here. And I want to share this with you. Okay, go ahead. Next time, next service, come on. You know what? The last service, look what here was. That's all I do. Look what the Lord has done. So God reveals himself. Satan can't get it. His children can't get it. They can't pick it up. Now, Brother Branham said here in the Church Age book, he said, it's most evident from these scriptures that no man of himself can hear God. That ability has to be given to him of God. Matthew 16:17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. We know the scripture. Putting these verses together, we see that there is only one group of people, and that very special group of people who can be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to each age. It is one special group that receives the revelation for each age. The group is of God. Because the group that cannot hear is not of God. The group that can and does what the Spirit is saying and receives the revelation thereof is the group that's described in 1 Corinthians 2:6-16. They are the ones who have the Spirit of God. They're the ones that are born of God. They are baptized into a body of the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit. They are baptized with the Holy Ghost. There's only one group of people that can do that. That's us. We're sitting here half the time thinking, well, maybe there's... No, it's you.
Right.
Maybe it's... No. the thing is, you can see God. When you can see, and everybody else around you can't, I told you about that dotted picture of the head of Christ. When you see it, and everybody else is around looking like, I don't see it, I don't see it, I don't see it, and you're like, it's right there, it's right there. I understand. I see it. That's a special group. You don't realize how special you are. You really don't. Because you wouldn't take it so lightly, take it for granted, thinking that it doesn't matter whether I say or it doesn't matter if I be a part, or if it doesn't matter if I do, nobody will notice me if I'm not there. No. This is what God has ordained, and He specifically chose you to be able to pick Him up. Do you understand everything? No. Do you understand anything? Yes. Then you should thank God that you understand, because that means the Holy Ghost has been dealing with you.
Amen.
I try to bring it home because Satan lies to us, and he tries to make us feel like we don't have nothing, because we don't understand all these details on how the moon was made. You don't need to know. Brother Branham, you know, over in Revelation chapter 2, all those seven church ages, every age, it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He said that in every age because there were people ordained for every age. God, he said he'd never leave himself without a witness, and that's true. Because he always had raised up somebody. He always had somebody waiting in the wings to get this. Somebody that was going to understand. And all the way down through the ages, he never left himself with nobody that could pick him up or hear him. He knew that somebody was going to pick it up. He knew that somebody was going to receive it. They were ordained of God to do so. St. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Already have it. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It's already taken care of. So if you can receive a revelation, it's over. That's why we shouldn't have no pity party church services. Because if you have received him, then you've already passed from death into life. You're not going to the judgment. God's not going to have to pick you up and figure out where you're going to go. He already has a place prepared for you. You already have eternal life. You already are a part of God. You don't have to build nothing, do nothing, say nothing, be nothing. You already have eternal life. People get mad because they think you got to do something, got to bring something, got to offer something. That's just tradition of men. You never were without eternal life. It wasn't always quickened, but you always had it. Yeah, Don said because you were always the son, because you are son. Because your sons is why he come to you. Because your sons is why he's revealed himself to you. Because your sons is why you're here today. He came looking for you. Not you looking for him. He found you hiding behind the tree. He found you and picked you up in your sinful state. He knew who you were in your sinful state. When you didn't look good. When you didn't smell good, when you didn't act good, God said, that one's mine. Before you did good or evil, before you did anything, God already knew you. And I'm not talking about Dwayne, Johanna. He already knew the part of the word that you represented. He already knew Luke 17:30. He already knew Revelations 10, 1 through 7, 8 through 11. He already knew Malachi 4. He already knew the word of your day that you were. And so when you were born in the natural birth, there was a piece of God that he put in you showing that you are already eternal. You didn't. There was never a day that you didn't exist. There wasn't a day that God had to come and get you and decide that he's going to have you. It wasn't even your decision. He decided he wanted you because he had already declared the end from the beginning. He already knew you were going to love him. He already knew you were going to fulfill the scripture for your day. So he just come and brought into manifestation that what was already in you. So that's why I'm saying it's not that you have to go and try to see. I can't help but to see. I don't try to hear this message. I can't help but to hear this message. I cannot help but to understand. When God opens the word to me, what I didn't understand, and he opens it, I say, oh, now I see. And once you see, you cannot unsee. But that's a special group of people. You've already passed from death into life. Listen to what Brother Branham said here in Satan's Eating. He said, and he that heareth my word, not just make out, not hear it with his ears, not just come here and sit in these benches, but understand it. Anybody can hear it. A prostitute can hear it and remain a prostitute. See, a drunkard can hear it. A liar can hear it and still remain a liar. But he that understandeth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. There you are, see? And no man can do that except God foreordained him. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draw him, and all that the Father hath given me will come to me. Amen. It's all the sovereignty and the foreknowledge of God. Yes. He lives alone, and there's nobody tells him what to do. Right. If he lets you understand this, thank God. Yeah. Right. I see him dropping to the left and the right and falling off. I've seen it for 40 plus years. Right. Some come, some go. Some come, some stay. Some come, go, stay, come in, go, and left. I see all of it. But if God ever shows himself to you, you should thank God. Because that's his ordained way. That's his ordained channel. That's his foreknowledge, knowing that you'd see it, knowing that you'd hang in. He that endureth. Why did he put all this in there? He that endureth until the end. That's the one that's going to be saved. Oh, in and out, up and down, just, I don't know, yes, I don't know, yeah, I don't know. No, no. You got to dig in. You got to study, show yourself approved. You got to get in this thing and give it your all. Yeah. Don't half-step this thing. Right. Hitting and missing. You can tell a person when they're hit and miss where they're at. Because if you ever hit it, and you really hit it, it changes your life. It really does. It changes your desire. It changes your, I want more. You're a new creature. You don't even want the same old things. Your goals are different. Your direction's different. Your attitude's different. Your speech is different. And then people being drawn to you because you are the Word. It's funny you say that like Seth said, a man is just wanting to talk to him, wanting to be with him, wanting. I get it. My neighbor's moving. And then I went over to see him yesterday, and I don't know, for some reason he had to let me know about his church history and his wife's his church history, and I'm trying to, I just want to say bye and go, you know. But he goes into this long discussion about his church affiliation and his history, and for some reason people want you to know, I love God. And I thought, that's good. I may not ever see him again. But you know what? He loves God because he loves me. And I got to see him off yesterday, and I thought, God bless them. No matter where they go in the world, God will remember them. But you are the representative. You are the Word made flesh. You're the only God they're going to see. When they see you, they're seeing God. But the thing is, they don't know what they're looking at. God's standing just as much in front of them as Jesus was standing in front of the Pharisees. And they didn't see him. My neighbor, he loves God in his own way, but he doesn't recognize God. If he knew that Jesus Christ walked down his driveway and walked to his garage and spent a little time with him, oh my, he wouldn't know how to act. And he won't at that day. Because, you know, they're going to see this. They're going to see this. This is going to be played before them. Because in Matthew 25, it says, when did we do this? And then he's going to see me walking down the driveway. He said, Lord, was that you? Remember that story about the man who wanted God to save him? He's in the house. Yeah. Blood coming. And first he sends one vehicle to get him, and now he waiting on the Lord. So water rises, sends a boat. No, Lord's going to save me. Waiting on the Lord. Well, I said, okay. Then he cuts a hole in the roof and climbs up on the roof, and helicopter comes. Well, I'm coming to save you. No, waiting on the Lord. Lord's going to save me. Man drowned and died. Come up before the Lord and said, Lord, I thought you told me, you know the footsteps, the sands of time. I thought you told me you had me. He said, I come to you three times. Yeah. See, sometimes God comes to people and they don't recognize it's him. Majority of the time. It's rare. It's rare for somebody to recognize it's God. But that's who you are. People can't see it, but it doesn't mean it's not here. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. And I thought about that this morning. I said, you know, God will not break his own word. He's got his own law laid out. Even the Spirit has to hear it. Because he got another scripture that says, how can you preach except to be here? How can he preach except to be sent? So God knew he had that scripture. So he said the Spirit's got to hear it, and then he'll quicken it. So what happens is God in skin gets in front of you, and he talks. And then the Spirit of God, who is running up and down this aisle, taking care of that word, and he comes and reveals it to you. Comes and reveals it to you.
Right.
He's over here. He's over here. He's over here. He's over here. He's doing that the whole service. And then when you get out of service, you're like, man, I've never seen that scripture before. It's like it's brand new. But yeah, you've been spoken to, and the Spirit is quick in that. That's God. That's how God works. That's how he's working with us. But you got to be open to that. If you're not open to God, God cannot help you. Brother, son, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit sent to the churches. It may be that millions will hear these words or read them. But how many will pay heed to them? That we do not know. But he who will lend his ear and want to know the words of truth will find the Spirit of God enlightening him. So you got to want this. You can sit here, cross your arms, and act like, I don't know. Well, as long as you don't get lean to it and give to it, and as long as you fight it and deny it and try to, he ain't going to deal with you. But he who will lend his ear and want to know the words of truth will find the Spirit of God enlightening him. If your ear is open to the word, the Spirit of God will make the word real to you. Now, that's the work of the Spirit. I can teach you truth, but if you don't open your ear to hear it and your heart to receive it, you won't get the revelation. I can preach here 3-4 hours, preach, revelation after revelation. But if you don't open up your ear and heart to receive it, and all you're doing is sitting here waiting for noon so that you can go get a lunch, you won't get nothing. He won't deal with you. And then you sit there and wonder, well, why aren't I getting it? Because you're not leaning into it. You're not seeking God. You're not trying to. You don't want it. See, people who don't see and don't hear and don't understand, they're not worrying about getting this from God. They think they already got everything they need. They think they're smarter than me. They think they're smarter than me. I know more than you because, you know, you think this and you think that, but I'm educated. I'm smart. You know what? You don't know nothing that you ought to know. You might have your head full of a bunch of scientific knowledge, a bunch of things that the world's pumping at you, but you know what? You got to lay all that aside. In order for you to see God, you got to put all that out. You can't keep the world's thinking and God's word. They're contrary one to the other. You say, but who knows what's right? I do. You say, but are you sure? Oh, yes. Do you know it's the truth? Oh, yes. How do you know? Because I'm here. His word said I was going to come, and voila. Well, that's no proof. I need some scientific evidence. I need to know this. I need to know that. You need to lean into the word. You need to believe. That's why Brother Branham said, only believe. It's not scientifically proven. It can't be scientifically proved because it's not science. It's God. And God is past finding out. You are never going to get to the place where you find out enough about God. You say, aha, this is God. This is truly God. No, it's going to have to be by faith. You're going to have to do the one thing you don't want to do. Believe. But I don't want to believe. I want to understand. You got to believe first. You got to take God at his word. You want to know anything from God? First, you got to submit yourself. You got to say, I'm wrong and you're right. I don't know what it is, but you do. No, you know, a key factor is when you say, I don't know what it is, then listen to me. Because I know what it is. When you're in a math class and you're in there saying, teacher, I can't do this problem. That's all right. I know how. But I don't understand. I do. I can't. I got you. Just listen to me. Lean into this thing. All that the Father has given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. When you come to God, that's the end of the story. Amen. It's no longer your life, it's his. He decides where you live. He decides what you wear. He decides how you act. He decides what employment you're going to have. He decides who you're going to marry. He decides everything. He decides it all. He said, well, I've got a say-so in this. No, you don't. You gave that up. He said, but I want to still. Too late. Either it's too late or you never give him all. Either it's too late or you didn't marry him. So your actions will prove which way it went. Brother Branham said, he said there one day, except you eat my body, the blood, and drink the blood and eat the body of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. He didn't explain it. See, we want God to explain. God don't owe you no explanation. Lord, I ain't going to serve you he don't owe you nothing. He don't owe you nothing. Why do I have to live here? None of your business. Why do I have this flat? Because I need somebody to come. But you don't need to know that. If God told you before you left here, you're going to get a flat on the way home so John Smith can come and change your tire for you, and you're going to be missing a jack and on and on and on, and he gives you all the details, you know what would happen? Nothing. You wouldn't leave this place. Right. Or you get out there and check your tires and kick the tires and look at the one that looks like it's bad. Oh, I know you bad. I'm a fix it before I leave the church parking lot. Hallelujah, God told me this, So I'm going to change the tire, and I'm going to put my spare on. And when I put my spare on, I'm going to negate everything God just said to me, and I will be better off. And he'll flatten the other one. But that's why God don't give you all the information. If we knew we were going to get hit. We would take preventative actions. But we do know all things pertaining to him, but we don't know all things pertaining to us. So when God does things in your life and you're like, why me? Why this? I don't know. I need an explanation. I have to know. No, you don't. Jesus told him he had to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and he didn't explain it. He walked on. That's right, see? Well, they said, the man's a cannibal. We want him to eat his body and drink his blood. He's a vampire, see? He wants us to become vampires. Them intellectuals, Brother Brennan said. Because what they did, they tried to, with their brain, try to figure God out. You are not going to be smart enough to figure God out. You say, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to figure God out. You'll go home and do nothing. How many of you are sitting at home right now really figuring this out? The devil's tricked you and you're sitting at home doing nothing. You say, well, I'm listening to the service online. You're sitting at home doing nothing.
Right.
You are not helping the bride body at all. How, you say, well, I testify in front of the screen every day. You are useless for God if that's all you got. Because he can't use you. God didn't call us here to just sit. That's why I say, y'all get up, testify, do your thing, do part, you know, play your role, do your thing what God called you to do. I can't get that across to people. They don't hear me. They don't see me. They don't understand. But it said, my sheep hear my voice. See? It will come to the elected. God has elected by foreknowledge. And those who the Father, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And all that the Father has given me, they will come. They'll understand it. We understand not because we're so smart. We're not the smartest ones in town, people. Not to bust your bubble, but this is your smartness that has you believing this. Them disciples couldn't understand it, but they believed it, see? That's right. If you believe it, he said, I can't understand many things. Brother Branham said that. He said, I can't understand many things. I believe it anyhow. See, because God said it was so. That's how believers do it. We don't do it because we understand everything. I can't tell you how, which molecules are going to change first and how the body change is going to work. All I know is God said it. I believe God. You believe God for all of it. You're never going to scientifically get this figured out. And the world, if you could figure it out scientifically, they might believe it. But they won't. They won't believe it, nor will they figure it out. Now, he said over there in Luke 17, 30, even so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man when he's revealed. Now, in the days of the Son of Man, what? To join the church to the head. Unite. The marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this. The coming of the Son of Man. The coming of the Son of Man in 1963 was the bridegroom call. The bridegroom call will come right through this. When the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. That has already happened. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word. And the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman. See, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will come down in human flesh amongst us and will make his word so real that it'll unite the church and him as one, the bride, and she'll go home to the wedding supper. The uniting is happening now. The groom is uniting with the bride now. You say, well, I don't see it. You have to see it. You have to understand it. You have to understand it. That's what's going on. We're uniting the bride. Now, remember I told y'all, when you're talking about the bride, we're not talking about 1744 Superior. We're talking about the bride of all ages. It's not even a bride until you got all of us together. See what I mean? Son of Man, Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh amongst us and will make his word so real that it'll unite the church in him as one, the bride. And she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united. See, we go to the wedding supper not to be married. Fill your flesh of all the flesh of the mighty man, because the marriage of the Lamb is come. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper. This is your prophet saying this. So the marriage isn't happening there. You're getting married here. The Word is becoming one with you here. The Son of Man ministry is becoming one with you here. And the Son of Man ministry, which couldn't come till evening time, according to Luke 17:30, that Son of Man ministry is the call to the wedding supper. You think we have something that, my goodness. It's so close. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper. When the word here unites with a person and the two become one, and then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again, not church theologians. Son of Man, the word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man does, he was the word, and the church does the same thing. We start moving, walking, breathing, because we are the Son of Man on earth. And they say, oh, I don't see it. I see it. I see the Son of Man. I see the Word made flesh. I see us taking the entire Word of God in. And that's what it takes to become the Son of Man. And when you are the Son of Man, you're the final voice to the final age. That's why the final voice to the final age is in the bride. Yeah. I was thinking about this, because I'm going to wrap this up here. But I was thinking, I said, who sends out the wedding invitation? I just thought about that last time. I said, she's the one that she sets out who gets to come. She invites who she wants. I know when Clarice and I got married, I helped her send them out. We sat down and wrote them out. But she could send it out to whoever she wants to. It's her wedding. Whosoever will, let him come. The call is coming forth from the bride. I mean, it's happening right in front of our eyes, but people can't see it. But I can see it. I know what's happening. And the Spirit, Revelations 22 and 17, and the bride say, come. And let him that hear say, come. Once you hear, to hear is to understand. When you understand, then you start telling everybody else, come. You invite him, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Last quote, and I'm closing. Brother Branham said, in words as basic expressed, and in the invisible union of the church, the bride to Christ, the messenger is here now, which is Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. People thought the messenger was Brother Branham. He was the seventh age messenger. But the messenger that we needed was Jesus Christ himself. That's what makes the Son of Man in us. Now, he only speaks through his prophets. The Bible said so. He never does anything, but first he makes it known to his prophets. Amos 3 and 7. He always done it. He never changes his pattern. See, the prophet can only speak, if he's true, what God tells him. Is that right? That's true. So God sent a prophet because God could not do anything until he first revealed it to his prophet. That's why we have to have a prophet. If you want people ask you, why do you think we have to have a prophet? God doesn't do anything until he first reveals it to his prophet. And if he's going to do something mighty like get the dead up, don't you think that's a big enough deal that he want to bring a prophet? And his word already said he's going to do it. So he did it. Malachi 4 restored the word, but that wasn't the prophet that we needed. Brother Brown said we'd come as far as we could at the written word. The prophet itself that we need was Revelations 10 and 1. The Lord himself, Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice and a trump of God. Most people didn't see it, but I see it. The bride sees, hears, and understands this. She knows the hour that we're living in. She knows who she is. She knows who he is. She recognizes his voice. She knows what's lying just dead ahead of us. We understand what was, what is, what is to come. We see it all.
Amen.
We understand the entire picture now. We're not in darkness on anything. That's why this church is different than all the other churches, because we're sitting here with perfect understanding of the Word of God. We understand all things. We understand everything that he's planning on doing. That's why we're not worried about who's going to be the president. That's why we're not worried about the Pope getting old. That's why we're not worried about Russia's bombs. That's why I'm not worried about all this stuff that's going on in this world, all this hatred and violence and all. We're not worried about all those things. We feel for them, but we understand it must be such to match the scripture. And it's rolling right along. Right along. And I don't care which pope gets in, there will be a last one. I don't care which president gets in, there will be a last one. I don't care what country, I know there will be a Russia. Because Russia's got work to do for God. They said, but they don't even believe in God. They've got some work to do. We understand all these. That's why we're not worried and concerned and think, oh my, this is getting out of hand. This is getting to be too much for God. It's not too much for God. God's already said this is going to happen.
Amen.
It's written in a book. In Revelation, it talks about all the things that God said he was going to do. And this bride, she's on her feet. She knows what it is. She knows what God said. She knows what God's doing. We are not blind at all. We see this thing clearly. We understand clearly. We hear this thing clearly. This bride, she is not in the dark on any of it. But if you want us to scientifically prove it, it'll never happen. If you want us to just show us something in writing, we got the Bible. If you want us to just do something that's going to just make it real to you, this word has to be revealed. When this word is revealed, it becomes real to you. So they can't see. They can't hear, and neither can they understand. But blessed are your eyes, for they can see. Blessed are your ears, for they can hear. And blessed are you that really can understand. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning so grateful for your truth. Thank you for being able to hear, to see, and to understand your word. Ask you, Lord, if there's some that are still shaky. Lord, pour a little bit more on their foundation that they can be sure. Help us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are real. And it's not going to be known because of our knowledge, but it's going to be known because I've leaned in to you and said, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I need you to show it to me. I reveal nothing. You reveal all. And Lord, I want you to remove all my doubts, remove all my fears, remove all my unbelief. Paul said, help thou my unbelief. Lord, we want to believe you. We're all just like that. We want to believe you. But Lord, help thou my unbelief. Don't let it overpower me in such a way that it caused me to spin out of control and to be unsure. But God, help me to know the hour that we're living in, and help me to know my job, and help us to see this thing, to hear this thing, and to understand this thing like never before. And you do that every service. You build on what you did from last week, and you build and you build and we build until we're finally going to build our way out of here. Thank you, Father, for this truth. There was one time they tried to build a tower to heaven, and they couldn't do it. But God, the bride, can. And Lord, we ask you to help us. Help us to lay down our thinking and to pick up your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. In times like these, we need a Savior. You need to be very sure. In times, what key? I don't know. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid. There is nothing better to build on. Nothing more sure than building on Jesus Christ. And when he was talking to Peter, he said, I'm going to build my church on this. And it wasn't on Peter. It wasn't even on Jesus. He built it on the revelation. Because when you got a revelation from God, there's nothing that can change that, nothing that can move that, nothing that can deny you then. That's why you need to make sure that that anchor holds. Make sure that you're not just sitting here, but that you can really see, and that you can really hear, and that you can really understand. And if you don't know for sure, then you need to be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Now, I could have everybody close their eyes. Don't do it, but I'm saying I could have you. And I can have you raise your hand if you're not sure. But I don't even need you to do that. Because you know. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And if you're not sure, you say, well, how can I get sure? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the word. And just start leaning in and say, you know, I wasn't sure, but I'm going to take the little bit that I have that I know is right. And I'm going to stand right there until God shows me something else. And if the rapture happens before I get another revelation, I'm set. But I'm not turning back. I'm not going to act like I don't see this. I can see this. I know this is real. I've seen, they talked this morning about healing. How did that happen? The same one that did the healing is the same one that reveals the word. So make it sure in your life. Don't take chances. As Jada goes to college, I want her to stand sure. Don't be swayed by the education. What I see happen to people is they get educated. And the education, Brother Branham said, education takes you that much farther away from God. And when you find yourself so smart that you don't know nothing, that you don't need God anymore, that God's not first place anymore in your life, then you need to drop your education, drop your thinking, drop what you think it is, and be dumb as you can get. Because the only sure thing there is the Word of God. Everything else is going down but the Word of God. So in this hour that we're here, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to open your heart. If you have not made up your mind, today's the day. If you've taken a back seat and you're not even in the place where you have been, and you know it, then it's time for you to take that step. Remember, this is a year of being sincere and dedication. This is a time to really, really settle it in. Settle this thing. Don't be tossed to and fro. Don't take back seat and let the devil push you. I can see you just backing, backing, backing. You need to push. You need to push forward. When he's getting you sitting in the back, step up, move up. When he's getting you to a place where you don't feel like you can do this anymore, do it harder, do it faster. Have a little press. Confess with your mouth. And believe in your heart. Those are the ones. That's us. That's us. So we've got this thing. We know what it is. And if you have never settled it in your heart, do it now. Repentance is just turning around. When you have a problem or you make a mistake or you do whatever you do, all you gotta do is turn around. It's just that simple. If you never push, or if you used to push and you've stopped pushing, push harder. It's just the devil lying to you. God's got you. We see, we hear, and we understand. Amen. God bless you. We're going to sing, Magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord in the key of D. And then we're going to get out. Don't forget, come back tonight at 7. Come expecting, because I will be waiting for you. Oh, let's magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to praise. Oh, let's magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to praise. Hosanna! Hosanna, oh blessed be the rock, yes, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, Hosanna, yes, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Hosanna! Oh, Hosanna! Oh, blessed be the rock. Yes, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna! Oh, blessed be the rock. Be exalted. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, let's magnify the Lord. For he is worthy to be praised. Yes, I will magnify the Lord. Hosanna! Oh, Hosanna!
said, be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock in me, the God of my salvation. Be exalted.
You're dismissed.